Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, September 13th, 2021. We are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 84, the sixth line down in the middle of the ninth step promises. We'll begin with the sentence, "Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change." Today's readers are Terry H. reading the 12 steps, Rhonda R. reading the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Lois P., Eileen M., and Betsy H. The share ID for yesterday's special edition on September 12th is 17,731 or 17731. And this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast Vision for You meeting, the share ID is 17,734 or 17734. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. My name is Terry H. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and a meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service on the Monday team. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Terry H. And Rhonda R., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes, good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. I'm Rhonda R., a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater in Atlanta, Georgia. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today.
Thank you, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. And then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 84, the 6th line down, beginning with our whole attitude and outlook. And we will read only 2 sentences today. There's a lot in there. And I will ask Lois P. to get us started. Lois?
Yes, good morning, Kathy, and thank you so much for your service. This is Lois P. from New York, gratefully recovered. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. This is a profound statement, and the fact that it's a promise gives great hope to all of us, whether you're just beginning or you're thinking of starting in the program or you've been in the program for a while. This is a truth that happens when we live and complete the steps. And when we get to the 9th step, we've already had an attitudinal change in the sense that we've gone through some old hurts or resentments or fears that may be still bogging us down spiritually. And when we release that to another in the 5th step, something is lifted from us. There's a light that comes into our being that I can attest to, and I know many people who also feel the same experience has happened to them. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. It does change. The fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. Two great fears that many of us, and I know myself, maybe grew up with. I was always shy. I was always afraid of people. I was always concerned when I was in a new situation, you know, feeling very self-concerned and absorbed and insecure. That goes away. And the fear of financial insecurity, perhaps, you know, everyone's financial situation is different, but the fear leaves because we become grounded in the state of spirit, in the communion with God, with higher power. This is a change that is promised will happen if we really live and work through the steps and sincerely offer our life, our addiction, all of our problems up to our higher power. This is a promise. A complete change in our attitude and life will change, and it does. The heaviness that I carried in terms of my body weight was really just a symptom or a metaphor for the inner weight that I was carrying in my mind. I was running my own life. I was afraid. I was trying to put on a good face to the world and doing a good job of it. But all of that changed when I went through the steps and was able to get to the 9th step after doing amends, really taking a look at the things that perhaps I owed other people an amends for, and got these things off of my mind and out of my heart. The whole attitude, our whole attitude changes, and our outlook upon life becomes grander and greater and more beautiful when we live the program and we live the steps as a living spiritual path to higher power. So this is a beautiful 2 sentences, and everything changes. Give yourself to the program if you're new. Trust. You will be guided, loved, and protected. And you will see a tremendous change in life will be presented to you. And that's a promise. Thank you so much, Kathy, for giving me the opportunity to share. I pass.
Thanks so much, Lois, for getting us started this morning. Okay, I'm going to take names now of people who would like to share. And please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every 3rd day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared yesterday or Friday, please allow others to share first. Who would like to share today?
Lauren A.
Lauren A.
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Terry W.
Donna B.
Elena L.
Who was that? Someone L.
Yvette.
Yvette L. And someone else came in with you, Yvette. Who was that?
Elena C.
Emma C.
Elena.
Elena.
L-E-N-A. Elena C.
Elena C. Thank you, Elena. Okay, we'll stop there for now. So I have Lauren A., Eileen M., Terry W., Donna B., Yvette L., and Elena C. And please limit your share to 3 minutes. Thank you. Let us start with Lauren A. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning. Thank you for hearing my voice. It's great to be on the line this morning. It's been a while. When I read all this whole promises section, what I thought of this morning is that, you know, most of us came here because we wanted to lose weight and we wanted to look gorgeous, or some to gain weight, or, you know, and then as we get a little farther in it, it's to regain some sanity. But there's so much more that's promised here. It's such a good deal. Yes, I did lose weight, and I'm getting saner as it goes along. It's not all there. Like the fear of people, I'm still afraid. I'm still afraid of, oh, if I say this, they won't like me. But I'm getting better and better at speaking my mind in the moment, because if I don't speak my mind in the moment, then I'm manufacturing resentments, and that leads me back to eating. So I need to stay in the steps. And what we need to remember about these promises is that they are after steps 8 and 9, and that's when they come, and they do. But we have to keep working 10, 11, and 12 to stay in the promises and to stay in recovery. That, you know, there's a lot of good weight loss programs out there, and the whole difference is, and this one is the steps, and that's getting us closer to God and keeping us there, you know. Just getting there doesn't do it for me. I have to stay there and keep working on this. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lauren A. Eileen M., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And, you know, I'm looking at that line, our whole outlook upon life. And, you know, my outlook on life, you know, was and is determined by my thinking. You know, is how do I think about people, places, and things? And I used compulsive overeating, you know, in an attempt to shut down the thinking, you know, shut down those thoughts. And, you know, one of the first things I realized after I finished step nine was that, you know, how blind I had been in my life, that, you know, here I had this higher power who was there all the time, you know, just waiting for me to reach out and ask for help, you know. And before I had, you know, these skills, these new skills that I have, which, you know, handle resentment and fear, which is, you know, working step one through nine, you know, my resentment and fear gets fueled by my thinking, you know, is, oh, man, you know, before I had those skills to deal with that, I did not have a good outlook on life at all. I really thought that, you know, everybody was out to get me, and I was this victim, you know, and that I really didn't feel useful. I certainly wasn't waking up in the morning and asking God for guidance or asking, you know, how I could be helpful. That was not part of my life at all. And, you know, once my thinking got turned around in those steps, one through nine, you know, and you know, I do this every day, is I have to turn my thinking around. You know, is that's when I get restored to sanity. And that's the daily reprieve, you know, is working steps one through nine, because, you know, I have a disease of thinking. And, you know, my thinking can really fuel fear. I mean, I can be so fearful, you know, without even leaving the house or without even, like, encountering anyone. I can just work up this fear in my mind. And that's when I really need God's help, because I can't handle that. So I'm really grateful to be here. Thanks so much. Pass.
Thanks so much, Eileen M. Terry W., please share with us. Terry,
can I be heard?
Okay, yeah, now I hear you. Thank you.
Yes, this is Terry W. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Terry W. from Massachusetts, recovering anorexic and bulimic. And I just wanted to share this short sentence. Well, two sentences mean so much. And what an amazing promise. And, you know, I have seen these come true. And, you know, when I was in my disease, and, you know, it may be funny, but I would not open my mail for months and months and months out of just the fear of the economic insecurity that I had. And I didn't even want to know what the bills were, because I knew I couldn't afford them. I had no money. So, yes, I would not open my mail at all when I was in my disease. And, you know, it was amazing after I did the steps, you know, learning how to manage my money and how to open the mail when I receive it was a whole new way of life for me. And, you know, I also had to make so many amends of things that I did. Like I ate so much food in the supermarkets that I didn't pay for it. And, you know, I had to go into the supermarkets and say, you know, I stole food from you, or I ate it while I was walking around, and I had to offer them money, you know, for things that I did. And it was embarrassing and all that. But, you know, the way I lived, my thinking is so disturbed, you know. I had a spiritual malady. And the great thing is today, you know, through these steps and through these promises, my life's changed to it's pretty amazing. So I just wanted to share that. If anybody else would have had a horrible time opening their mail, you're not the only one. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks so much, Terry W. Donna B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver, Colorado. My whole outlook on life, when I talk about the allergy of the body, my abnormal reaction to my alcoholic food ingredients, I do believe that one of the abnormal reactions that I had was a desire to die. I have never attempted to take my life, and I don't believe I've ever been at serious risk of hurting myself or another person. But I spent a lot of time with this outlook, with this attitude regarding my life. When is it going to be over? How much longer can I endure this? And was just plagued with a feeling of just not wanting to live. A lot of that was lifted by virtue of entire abstinence. But in working the steps, what I found is that I want to be alive. I want to live. I want to experience what life has to offer. I certainly have a bias towards the good things, not the bad things. And I do still spend a lot of my self-will trying to manage my life and the world around me so that I will have a more positive experience of life as I see it. But even that is changing. I find myself with time sincerely praying and asking God to have me be willing to accept life exactly on life's terms, to be present for exactly what my higher power is presenting for me, and to be present for exactly what the reality is that I am living in. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Yvette L., please share with us.
Hi, my name's Yvette, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Britain, Connecticut, and I apologize for the traffic. So these two sentences, my whole attitude and outlook on life will change, and fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. Huge promises in my life. Because, you know, I did face financial insecurity. When the pandemic hit, I was one of the professions that had to stop working, and I'm fully self-employed, so that that was scary. And I did experience fear because all of a sudden, without without anything on my part, my source of income was completely cut off. So that was a very scary time. I'll be honest, and certainly I was honest with my sponsor about, how scary that was. But gratefully, I have a power greater than myself that is bigger than that financial insecurity. And I had to lean into that power even more when I was faced with financial insecurity. Because that was a reality, but the silver lining from the pandemic is that I've gotten closer to God because I had no choice when faced with that fear because either God is or God isn't, and in my life God is. So my higher power was bigger than that fear of financial insecurity, and 2 years later I'm fine financially, but I did have to face that fear, and leaning into God was the only way that I can face anything in my life. The only way that I can face anything is keeping close to that power greater than myself, so that fear of financial insecurity, my whole outlook on life has changed. Yes, my whole outlook on life is different as a result of working these steps. Because it cannot not be. If I actually work these steps as they're written, my outlook will change because, with God in my life, I have a very different outlook on life. So thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Yvette L. Elena C., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C., a recovered compulsive overeater from Greer, South Carolina. I really like when before the 12 step, when somebody would read me the promises, these promises would have been like, just foreign language to me, and my attitude would have been very skeptical about this. I was like, all right. I want to talk about our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. I also heard in this group, change attitudes can aid recovery. And attitude is a choice. For me, it's a choice. I can have feelings about it. So before recovery, I let myself, my feelings, dictate my attitude towards life, towards my fellows, towards God of the universe. And, you know, all of this, what I'm learning in this 12 steps, their choices and their actions. You know, so I can act in spite of whatever I'm feeling. And feelings, I will always have them because I am human, and I can go to God. I have a 10th step now, and I can go to God to my feeling. I can go to my God squad. I can do so many things. Yet, my attitude, which is the way I am with others, the way I am with myself, you know, the thoughts that I can have, the judgment, the lack of judgment that I can have towards the world is a choice. And for that, I will always be grateful for this 12-step program. Also, fear of people and economic insecurity will leave me. You know, I can tell you that there was a time a year ago when I was just freaking out about this money. You know, and what was the most helpful was the doing a 10th step and getting into a place where what my higher power intends me to be is to live one day at a time and to continue to remind myself that I have money in the bank, you know, and kind of just remind my gratitude what I have and be grateful for that. And that's also a choice. And, you know, I'm grateful that you guys taught me that. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Elena C. Okay, we are sharing on the two sentences on page 84 about fear of people and economic insecurity and about how our attitudes will change as a result of working the steps. Who else would like to share this morning?
Jody M.C.
Okay, Jody E. Who else?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Amy
Alexis F.
Okay, I'm sorry, Amy. Her name is?
Alexis F.
Alexis S. And was there also Amy?
Yes, Amy M.C.
M.C., thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
And who else?
Linda B.
Linda B. We could take one more, I believe.
Elaine S.
Elaine S. Okay, thank you very much. So we have Jody E., Deborah G., Amy M.C., Alexis S., Linda B., and Elaine S. Please go ahead, Jody.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Good morning, my fellows. This is Jody E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic in California. My whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. That has indeed been the case. I had that actually happen to me at my very first meeting. I hadn't even worked the steps yet, and my attitude towards life changed. Prior to coming to OA, I thought that I would probably end up committing suicide, as did my mother. I understood completely why she did it, and I thought I was on the same path. And at my very first meeting, and the first time I heard the 12 steps read, I knew I had found what I needed. There was this inner knowing, and my attitude changed. I was no longer hopeless. But working the steps on a daily basis continuously is necessary today to keep my attitude changed. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us so long as I am in fit spiritual condition. And just because I've been given these 12 steps doesn't mean that I automatically get these promises. I have to work these steps. As we heard on the special edition yesterday, I have to work them, all of them, and I have to maintain them by living in steps 1, 2, and 3, 10, 11, and 12. And when I do that, yes, I do get these promises. My attitude is one of reverence, gratitude, expectation for things that will be better. And when I don't work them, I can slip back into fear. So this is a program not for those of us who need it, but for those of us who work it. And today, that's my intention, to work these 12 steps. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jody E. Deborah G., please share with us.
Oh, hello, everyone. My name is Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you, Kathy, for your service today and everyone that has been serviced with making this meeting possible. I love this meeting, and thanks for all the shares. That I'm not alone in this. I'm not alone with the same kind of thinking in the head and everything that goes on. And that's what goes on, sometimes still goes on, the stories that I tell myself, you know, or I'm not living in reality. I'm living in distorted beliefs. And I'm so grateful today that I have these beautiful 12 steps that can take me out of that and put me in reality, put me in the truth and what's really happening. And also, I remember using food because I was afraid of people. That gave me, it was just like alcohol, liquid courage. Food was liquid courage for me when I was around people. And actually, I wasn't even focused on the people or what they were saying or having the connection with them. I was in the food. And that's how I dealt with that. And today, I'm no longer in the food. And I can be with people and listen to people and be present and feel connected. It's just a wonderful gift. And just being in alignment with that presence, with my loving presence and that power, and how much that power loves me. And I can do that with other people. And also, when I'm in that place, I'm not feeling all that fear. Or when fear crops up, I can take it to a 10th step. It's these beautiful 12 steps are just a beautiful way of life, and I'm so grateful for them and all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. Amy MC, please share with us.
Hi, this is Amy MC calling from Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much to Team Monday and everyone who's on the line. Welcome to the newcomer, and thank you to those of you who have already shared. Yeah, ditto on so many people's shares. I can relate and identify with so much that has already been said this morning. And I personally, you know, I love this. You know, I too have an experience, excuse the sounds of my baby in the background. I too have the experience of coming into program and, you know, my outlook upon life changing and my attitude and realizing, you know, you're only as sick as your secrets. And for me, there were a lot of secrets around food and what I was doing with it. But here was this fellowship of individuals
who were sharing what I did with food. And I got to share freely and openly about what I was doing with food. And then the best part about that is then I got to learn about the solution and working these 12 steps. And so, you know, when I take a look at this, and I just lost my spot here, so bear with me for just a moment.
Page 84.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Here we go. The other piece that really stood out to me, as it's been said, is that fear of people and economic insecurity. I too, you know, I was so in fear of other people that I would just eat myself into oblivion. You know, I would numb out, and you know, then I didn't really have to be as present and engaged in conversations and ask others about themselves or pretend to be interested in other people. Where today, you know, that is my service. I am interested in other people. I want to hear about the lives of others. I don't want to be pigging out with the food. I want to be present and be a part of rather than be locked inside my head. And then the economic piece, you know, just to touch upon that briefly too, you know, I'm certainly not wealthy, but I don't have the debt that I had before I came into program. And that is such a gift and a blessing in itself to know that that fear of economic insecurity has left me. You know, the people and the economic or financial rather insecurity, they dominated my life. You know, I ate over the people. I ate over not having money. I spent my money on the food. You know, I lived to go out to eat and eat the whole meal and keep eating afterwards and keep going and not having to worry about it. And then the credit card debt piled up, you know, where today I live reasonably financially and expenses wise, and I actually have a little money in the bank. And, you know, I never thought that would be the case. So these promises definitely come true. Thank you for that. And, you know, it's one step at a time, one day at a time, one hour at a time. And, you know, I'm continued to be reminded of these promises coming true each and every day, that still subtle voice and so many other people sharing and having the opportunity to be on the line and listening and learning from all of those who go before us. So thank you so much for letting me share and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Amy MC. Alexis S., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Alexis F. in New Jersey. I used to have a terrible fear of people. So I thought things made me look better in people's eyes. I remember being at a party and someone was commenting about a beautiful desk that this person had, the hostess of the party. And I said, oh, my brother has the same desk, because I thought that would make me look just as important as my brother. Oh, I know someone with this degree and that degree. Oh, my brother and sister have this and that degree, because I thought it made me look good. Humility is knowing our limitations. I'm 73 years old now. I'm not pretty anymore. I can't get anything by my looks, which was the only way that I thought I could before. I'm insecure, and I'm so insecure that I have to be in the room with someone more secure to feel secure sometimes. I'm not eating. It's been a long time since I've overeaten, and I'm not smoking. It's been 13 years since I've had a cigarette, and I was smoking 4 to 5 packs of cigarettes a day. I'm not drinking. And I'm thinking more of others now than ever before, and putting them before me and their needs before mine, which is progress and not perfection. And that's what this program stands for. Thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you, Alexis. Linda B., please share with us.
Thank you. This is Linda B., compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. Thank you for the opportunity to share. Fear of people. I do have a tremendous fear of people. I always feel less than others, and I know that I seek my love and approval. My love and approval of myself is dependent upon what others are thinking and feeling about me, and I know that that is twisted, and that's really come through on some recent step 10s I have done. And it's dawning on me that the only really love and approval that is a constant in my life is that which is from my higher power. And it's trusting and believing in that. And what other people are thinking of me is really none of my business. It's saying more about them than it is about me. And I need to learn that deep in my heart, I am totally loved unconditionally by the God of my understanding. And I know in social functions, I never overate in front of people because I would be horrified that they would witness how I could eat and how much I could eat at one time. But I always, as soon as I returned home, that's when the eating would take place, the overeating, the compulsive binging, to have that ease and comfort after being in this group of people. With I had so much fear being around them that I wasn't comfortable in my own skin, and I just wanted to get back home and have that ease and comfort and just relax. And so I could be myself. Well, why would I feel that I couldn't be myself unless I was at home? Why couldn't I be myself with other people? I am worthy of being with other people. I need to believe I have things to offer, and that's what my program is teaching me. I can be of service in small ways. I just have to be kind. I just have to smile, walk in the room and smile. I don't need to be, you know, a grandiose individual. I can just be myself and trust. And the fear of economic insecurity, I do have a bit of that, especially since I'm retired now. And I remember, this is just a little funny note on the side, but the first time I went to my financial advisor and he asked me to come in with my expenses, outlining what my expenses might be for by the month and for over the year, et cetera, et cetera. I was honest. I was really honest. And he said, "My goodness, you spend a lot of money on food." I thought, oh, my goodness, I never thought I should, you know, didn't think I was spending that much on it. So it makes me laugh when every time I go to the grocery store now and I'm, you know, being more aware and making better choices and keeping it simple and healthy and clean. I often think back to his comment. I was so embarrassed, but he was right. So anyways, thank you for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Linda B. And Elaine S., you'll be our last share today.
I want to thank everybody today for their incredible shares. They've been so meaningful to me. And Kathy, thank you for leading the meeting. But what I really recognize here when I read, our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change, is that I'm not running the show anymore. I'm not living in fear and trying to figure out how to solve this problem, how to solve that problem. What am I going to do here? What does somebody think of me? And now I surrender to my higher power. I pray and meditate in the morning. I check in with my higher power during the day, and I allow my higher power to direct me. And I trust my higher power to direct me, even in speaking today. I had this urge to speak, and I thought, wait a minute, do I have anything to say? And then I thought, yeah, my higher power will direct me to say just what I need to say. And again, I want to thank you all. This has been an incredible meeting today, and everybody's share has really hit a chord in my heart. And I love this fellowship. Thank you so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine S. You know, we have time for one more to share. Is there anyone who'd like to share?
It's Penny C, Kathy.
Penny C.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. My thought, I don't know, I don't think that's my phone. I'm Penny C. I'm recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. And my thought through listening, I actually listened to almost the whole 2 hours this morning, and then I was interrupted on this meeting but came back, is the word attitude. It's just so important. You know, my sponsor often says to me, look for the blessing. Even in hard times, even in unwanted situations and people do and say things that aren't pleasing to me, look for the blessing. And so if I look at what's happening in my life and people in my life, and instead of considering them a burden or difficult, to ask God, what's the lesson here and what's the blessing? That's all. Life is all about attitude, and I think this whole program is about attitudes, and that especially, and I'll close with this, especially the attitude about my higher power, that, you know, as we hear so often, there is a higher power, and I'm not it, and I'm not directing the world, thank God, anymore. I used to think I was running the world. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Penny C. And thank you to everyone who has shared today and who has listened today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Eileen M., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Eileen, press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, I'm here. Had trouble unmuting. Eileen M., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.